How are you guys doing? Yeah, cool. Alrighty, we're gonna be. You guys can dismiss for children's church. So, all right, we're gonna be in John chapter 13 this morning. If you guys want to turn there. Awesome. I'm gonna open in prayer and then we'll get started. Dear God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to be in this house and just continue to grow closer to you and grow closer to each other. We thank you for just the ability to be a part of the body of Christ and that we just get to continue to just love each other and just get to know each other and know you better because it's such a blessing. We love you, Jesus. Just please give me the words to say and just help your body to grow through this message. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. I've got a hand up. Yeah. Is this on? No? It's not? Cool.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
All right, is it on?
Cool.
Awesome. So this is one thing that's really cool that I had my eyes open to a while ago is that the Bible is mostly stories, right? Like you guys have read it. You've got like the Exodus, the flood. You've got all these stories. And that's kind of like it was – difficult for me to like wrestle with at first because it's like when people think of religion, they usually think of here's the things that you do and here's the things that you don't do. Here's your list of rules. And it's like, okay, well, the Bible is like, I got told it was the basic instructions before leaving Earth. So I'm expecting like an instruction manual on how to live my life. And it's not like in the straightforward way of like when you like, my dad and I got this bookshelf from IKEA. If you've ever been to IKEA, it's a really nauseating experience because there's just things everywhere and there's people everywhere and they like people have like hide and go seek in IKEA because you can because it's such a maze. And so we got this couch and I mean not this couch, we got a shelf and I was trying to follow the instructions building it, but I built it on its side by accident. So as I put on the heaviest part of the shelf, the thing folds over onto itself sideways and snaps all of the pieces in half. And I was like, oh my goodness, my parents are gonna kill me. I just like broke this really nice shelf, which thankfully we got it fixed. But this is the thing, is even with an instruction manual, I didn't do too well. And so I'm like what am I supposed to do when this is these are narratives, these are stories. But at the same time, like as I've learned, like this is such a gift. Because here's the thing, somebody can tell you something like, and as we'll see today, Jesus tells his followers, be humble, serve others. It's very easy to say, be humble, serve others. And you can tell people to do that. And it's hard to get what that necessarily is. But Jesus is a master teacher, and he actually shows us how to be humble. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So we'll start in just verse 1 of chapter 13. I'm just going to go through verse by verse and kind of unpack it with you guys. So it opens in verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so right here, John is the writer of this gospel. He's setting the stage for us. This is preparing for the Passover. It's this feast that happens every year that the Jews would celebrate. And it's actually, we know that the Passover week was the one that led up to Jesus' crucifixion. Like, we're right at the edge of the crucifixion. Jesus knows he's about to depart out of the world to the Father. It's alluding to his crucifixion. And so he's kind of setting the scene. It's like, they're about to be at this feast. It's going to be basically they would gather around this table and eat a meal together. And so John's setting the scene for us is Jesus knows his crucifixion is approaching and that they're getting close and we're preparing for a meal now. And then verse 2 continues. During supper, when the devil had already put it into his heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. And so this is the way I kind of understood this is John is laying out this scene for us because Jesus is about to do this really powerful act that's so simple, but he wants us to have a few things in mind. Number one, that Jesus' crucifixion is approaching. he knows he's about to go back to the Father. Number two, that Judas is going to betray Jesus. And if you guys have read the gospel narratives, which I'm sure many of you have multiple times, probably way longer than I've been alive. And so it's just, what's crazy though is that Judas actually ends up for a very small amount of money, basically sells Jesus, like he hands Jesus over. They give him a very small amount of money to betray Jesus and to hand him over. So we know that Judas is this guy who betrays Jesus. He's almost like, and he's against Jesus. He's opposed to everything Jesus is doing, and yet he's one of Jesus' disciples. He's in Jesus' 12, his group of followers that were very close and intimate and got to be with Jesus more than anybody else did. And he's one of his followers. And then the last thing is that it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. And this is a really powerful statement, is Jesus has all the authority, all things have been given into his hands. He's the most powerful person ever because he's the Son of God. All things have been given over to him. And this is what John wants you to see right before we get into this story, because it really, what happens next with that in mind, it's really hard to grapple with, because it says in verse 4, it says, Jesus rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began washing the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's like, Jesus, what are you doing? That's not your place. Like, this is, like, one thing that, as I was researching this, is that what would happen is before a meal, they would go and bathe and they would wash their bodies, but walking back from the where they would bathe, their feet would usually get dirty. And at the time, like, they might have had sandals or shoes, but at the same time, the roads are made of dirt. And also, you share the road with animals. And in case you don't know, animals use the bathroom a lot, and they don't care where they do it. So these roads are nasty, they're dirty, and so they usually would have gotten their feet dirty. So one thing that a host of a house would do is they would provide water, and usually a servant of the house, who often wasn't a Jew, would come and would wash the people's feet before a meal. It was part of making them clean for the meal, and it was also just something like that was out of respect. And then what you see is Jesus, who we're told has given all things into his hand from the Father, takes off his robe, ties a towel around his waist, and then gets down and starts washing people's feet. Like, it would be like if you went to a dinner with the president, and all of a sudden the president gets there and you're expecting him to go up on stage and speak, and it's like, nope. He takes off of his stuff, he puts on like a bow tie and a waiter uniform, and he grabs like, what are they called? I can't remember. But he grabs a tray to like carry around drinks. I'm so sorry. Every time I get up here, I always think, I'm not gonna be nervous, and then I get up here and I'm like, I'm really nervous. But yeah. So, I mean, like, it would be like the president grabs a tray, and then he just starts walking around and serving people, like, food. And it's like, what are you doing? That's not your job. You're supposed to be up there teaching or explaining or leading or something, but not serving people dinner, because that's not your place. Like, that's the job of a servant. That's honestly, like, below your position and your authority. And then we see Jesus, who all things have been given into his hands, and he gets down into the position of a non-Jewish servant, like one of the lowest positions, and he gets down. And you have to think, this guy that you've been seeing, he's done miracles, he's healed people, he's taught with authority, like he's done all of these things, and then he gets down and he starts washing your feet. Like, think about that. Jesus, the eternal King of the universe, washed their feet. And he's showing them this ultimate symbol of servanthood, getting down and with the towel around his waist, having taken off his robes, washing their feet. And it's this powerful image. And this is why I said that God uses stories to teach us. It's because of that imagery is so, like Jesus can say, be humble, serve others. But when you see Jesus down washing people's feet, you get a really clear picture of what that looks like. It's setting yourself aside in service of others. And this is what's so powerful about Jesus, is he's a master teacher, is that he shows us what humility looks like. He shows us how to love others. And he literally sets himself aside so that way he can serve us. And this is another thing that I was thinking about, is like when my dad taught me how to shave, He didn't say, here's a razor, here's shaving cream, get in the bathroom, just do it. Like, he clearly didn't do that. It's a blade, like, and I'm like, I don't know, like 12, 11? I don't know. But he didn't do that. Or like when my mom says, do the dishes. She didn't just say, go get in there and do the dishes with me having no idea what to do. She took me over by the sink and showed me how to wash the dishes. And she walked me through it. That way I could see how to do it, and then I would do it following her. And this is what Jesus so graciously does for us, is he gets down on one knee and shows us how to do this, how to serve each other. But we'll continue in verse 6, and you see how it kind of, Simon Peter responds to this. It says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And it's like, you can almost hear the like shock and like almost like don't do it in his voice. It goes on in verse 7 and 8, says, Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And it's funny to me because Peter's the stubborn disciple. You always see this. Like, he's the guy who, like, Jesus is like, you're all going to leave me. And Peter goes, I'll never leave you. And then you have him deny him multiple times. Or even you actually see, I kind of was thinking of, if you know the story of Jesus' baptism, one thing that's really interesting is Jesus goes for John the Baptist to baptize him. And then John the Baptist's response to this is, honestly, like, I can't baptize you. I'm not even worthy to carry your sandals. And that's kind of the way that I see almost Peter being right here, is like, I'm unworthy for you to be doing this to me. Like, you're my teacher, my leader, my savior, and you're over here washing my feet. I'm unworthy for you to be doing this to me. And I think, like, I get that attitude sometimes. It's like, I'm unworthy to be in the presence of God, especially, like, if I've struggled with sin at certain points, and whenever that's been happening, like, I almost think, like, I can't pray to God. I'm unworthy to be in his presence. Like, I'm struggling with this sin or that sin. I can't go before God. That's not where I am. And this is what's so cool, is that Jesus' love for you is not contingent on how deserving you are for it. And this is what's awesome, is that Jesus wasn't washing Peter's feet because of who Peter was. Jesus was washing Peter's feet because of who Jesus is. He got down on one knee and was because he came to serve. He came to set himself aside and be humble and love us in ways that we can't even conceive of. And he washes Peter's feet not because Peter deserved it, but because Peter was his. And this is what he says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have a share with me. I'm washing your feet and you're mine. I'm making you clean. And that's the other thing, is that Jesus also, in a different way, washes us and cleanses us of our sins. And you actually see a picture of that, is this is all pointing forward. It's the Passover feast. We're looking forward to the crucifixion of Jesus and how he serves and eventually dies on the cross for our sins, is that he's cleaning them right here. And it's just a very powerful picture of the gospel in him washing feet. And then we'll keep going in verse 9. It says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. And this is one thing that John does throughout his gospel, and it really frustrates me sometimes, because he goes from this very literal idea of washing feet and being clean to like this metaphorical idea of like how your soul is. Are you clean before God or are you not? And this is what he says, is that like, you don't need to be bathed. Like, you're already clean. Like, not just your feet, but you're clean because of how we are relationally. But he says, not all of you are clean. And this is the other thing, though, is that this, at the beginning, we're pointed out that Judas is going to betray him. And then right here, we're pointed out again that Judas is not clean because he's already, in his heart, turned against Jesus and isn't following him. But at the same time, we're told in this story earlier that Jesus went around and washed all of their feet. And this is one of the most this is another just powerful picture, is that Jesus shows us how to be humble even in the face of those who are against us. is that the same Jesus who bent down and washed the feet of Peter is the same Jesus who bent down and washed the feet of Judas. And that's the thing, is like, he humbly even loved his enemies. He loved those who were against us. And once again, this is the thing, is that God can tell us, love your enemies. And it's like, that's really difficult. There's people I don't want to love. There's people that I don't even really want to like. Like, there's people that get on my nerves. I mean, surely people get on your nerves, right? Am I alone in this? I guess you guys are all more sanctified than me. Like, I'm just not keeping up. I am St. Patrick. There you go. Man, I got a lot of work to do. But I mean, this thing is, Jesus not only bends down and washes the feet of the 11 who would follow him, he washes the feet of Judas as well, the man who he knew would betray us. And this is what John does. John says, remember, Passover's here, the crucifixion's coming up, Judas is going to betray him, Jesus has all authority. And then we see Jesus bends down and washes people's feet, including Judas's. And that is such a powerful picture that's hard for me to like really understand, because it's like, the fact that you could bend down and like, he wasn't doing it in a passive aggressive way, which is how I feel like I would probably do it. It was like, you know, like you're down there washing Judas's feet and you accidentally squeeze one of his toes to the side. You're like, yeah, you get that. Like, no, Jesus gets down and is lovingly washing the feet of his enemy. He served his enemies, which is crazy up until you realize that we're all sinners and we're all enemies against God until we've been reconciled through Jesus. All right, we'll keep going to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" Verse 13 goes, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. For so I am." And so right here, he asked them, "Do you see what I just did?" And he really puts this before them. You call me teacher and you call me Lord, and that is who I am. And he's really driving his point home with them, is look, I am your teacher. I am your Lord. I am the one you're following, and look what I just did. Like, I just served you in a way that's beneath what people would consider as my position. Like, this is pure servanthood on display. And he's emphasizing that. I'm your teacher and your Lord, and I serve you and love you in this way. And he's just continuing to set that example for us. And we'll keep going in verse 14. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, but you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Okay, so then Jesus goes, I've set an example for you. Basically, go and do likewise. But here's the thing, like, what are we supposed to do with this? Like, do we just every Sunday break out some buckets and get people in their chairs and start washing each other's feet? Like, I've been here for a few months and I've never seen anybody's feet get washed yet. So, I mean, it's not like the breaking of the bread or baptism. Like, clearly, and this is what is going on here, is he's saying, this is an example to you of how you should love others. This is an example to you. And he hammers this point, is that this way that I've served you is how you're to serve others. Set yourself aside. You consider yourself as less important than others in terms of how you act towards them, and you make them the priority, and you serve one another. And then he's saying that we're called to serve each other in this way. And this is part of what's being in the body of Christ is like, is you serve each other's needs. We pray for each other. And that's one of my favorite things that we do at this church that I've seen every single week, is they, like Lynn especially is awesome. Like, I get emails of prayer requests all the time, and like, to be praying for people. And it's that we take care of each other's needs. We pray for one another. We're there for each other. When somebody goes through a loss, we support them through that. And when somebody has a need, you fill that need. Because that's what you're called to do in the body of Christ, is say, my wants and desires are not as important as loving my brothers and sisters. And that's the thing, is we're unified by Christ and unified by the gospel. And so that's what we're called to do, is love and serve one another in this very same way. And one of my favorite stories I've ever heard was there was a family at a church that the mom was a stay-at-home mom, and then all of a sudden the dad lost his job, and they had three kids and weren't going to be able to buy groceries. And then this member of the church had heard about it and went over and just was like, hey, I just want to let you know, until you find a job, groceries are on us. Don't worry about it. We can't meet all your needs. We can't do everything, but we're here to serve you in that capacity. And yeah, it's a lot of money to buy groceries for a family of five for 2-3 months, but we're here to serve you because, like, how could we not in the way that Christ has loved us? And it's just, and what's cool though, is that if this is a picture of the gospel, then as we serve others, people see that, and now we become pictures of the gospel. When you set yourself aside and you love your neighbors and even your enemies, you become a walking picture of the gospel to other people. And it's this beautiful depiction of what Jesus has done for us. I'm going to do the last three verses, and then I've got a few things to close with, and we'll be done. But verse 18 goes, I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. He's speaking about his 12 here. But the scriptures will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. So right here, where it speaks about, it says, so the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. It's an allusion to Psalm 47, where it speaks about this man who betrayed King David. And he's alluding to that. And he's speaking about also Judas, who's at the table, who eats meals with Jesus, is the one who will betray him. And so he sees that as a very similar type thing. But he's saying, like, you guys don't understand what's happening now, but I'm telling you this so that way when it all does occur, when Judas betrays me, when I go to be crucified, when they see those things, they'll understand that everything that he had told them was true. But I want to go back to two things in the passage that really stood out to me. The first is that he constantly tells them they'll understand later. And you see this in the teachings of Jesus. He says, you won't understand now, but you'll understand later. Is that on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, and like when you really think about the fact that the eternal God of the universe came down and already, I mean, that's such a humble picture that he would become a man. Like, think about that. You're in charge of everything, and you choose to become a human being. Like, just a simple human being from Nazareth, which was like the middle of nowhere. It's literally like the sticks, the boondocks. Like, you chose to come into the world as a baby and to serve others with your life to the point of dying for them. Like, this is the ultimate picture of servanthood. And we see that in the cross. And this is what he says. You don't get this now, but you'll get it later. I've served you and I've loved you in ways that you can't even understand. But the other thing is, if you go a little bit later in the passage to John 13, 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I've heard that. I was always told, like, look, if you love one another, that's how people will know that you follow Jesus. I had not realized that it was within the context of Jesus washing feet that he tells them this. Jesus doesn't, like, just throw out abstract principles about your best life now and how to follow him. Like, he shows us. He shows us in getting down and washing people's feet. Like, you're called to love one another just as I have loved you. You set yourself aside, you put others first. And it's hard. It's hard work. And you have, it's something that, like I have to pray for God to work on my heart so I can do those kinds of things. Like, it takes a lot to be willing to set yourself aside. But that's what we have the capacity to do with the Holy Spirit, is God gives us the ability to love one another, to choose peace, to choose self-sacrifice in favor of others. And we get this, is that he says, love one another just as I have loved you. And that's how people will know that you're my disciples. Because if you're a disciple of Jesus, people can see it in your life. That's the bottom line. If you're following Jesus, your works don't get you to God, but they definitely point to God. Like, if you're loving people and serving people, people are going to know that there's something different in your heart and in the way that you love. And ultimately, as I said earlier, it points back to the cross. It does. Just when you love people with the passion that Jesus loved us, if you ever could even reach that level of, like, love, that it always will point back to Jesus and what he's done for us. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and want one, come talk to me or come talk to Dalton afterwards. We'd love to share how to do that with you. But if not, and you do already follow Jesus, I would just challenge you today with, think about ways that you can serve others and set others as more important than yourself. Like, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're from or what you're doing right now, there's always ways to say, I can set myself aside and serve my brothers and sisters in Christ.